Welcome to Dialogue Out Loud Interviews. My name is Margaret Olson Hemming, and I'm the art editor at Dialogue, a journal of Mormon thought. Today, I'm here with one of the artists whose art can be found in the 2024 issue of the journal. Carrie Ellen Carlisle is originally from Cache Valley, Utah. She earned her Bachelor of Fine Arts from Utah State University. Her mediums of choice are acrylic painting and digital painting, and she now lives in Andover, Kansas, with her husband and her two children. Carrie's art focuses on everyday family life. Carrie, welcome to Dialogue Out Loud.
Hi, nice to be here.
So I want to jump right in with your art, and then we'll back up and talk about your background and how you got into the art world, and then what you're working on now. So part of the reason I chose your art for this issue is that the issue's theme is of family and kinship. And while there are lots of Mormon artists who paint or portray families in some way, unsurprisingly, I was particularly drawn to yours for how you do it. Your images are just so intimate, and they capture these sort of candid moments of daily family life. There's a lot of movement in them, even as there's also stillness.
Yeah, I would say I would put it as like nostalgia in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of making kind of memories. And, you know, as a kid, you remember certain like things like sledding or ice skating or Christmas or spending time with your family, playing games and stuff. But now being a mom, it's almost like I am reliving it, but as a kid, I lived it. As a parent, I'm living it. And then down the line, as a grandparent, I'm going to like revisit all of these things as a grandparent. And so I like to capture these moments as a parent, but then remember when I was a kid, like, how did it feel to have like, you know, go to a classroom with Valentine's Day, or, you know, those moments, capturing those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have this sense of almost shared memories that really speaks to me. But I also love that your images are not saccharine, and I feel like they don't give easy answers about families. It feels like you are sharing a moment, but they're also sort of, I don't know, complex issues at stake. Could you tell me a little bit more about that, if that resonates with you at all? If the image, how you portray animals, or sorry, families as crucial and interesting without being too sweet or too sentimental.
Yeah, I think also, yeah, I like that, how you put it, because there is a balance between like making everything look, I mean, I do like the nostalgia and I love that. But at the same time, there is those moments as a mother, and my art is like my journal. It always has been. It's what I am like, what I'm feeling in the moment. And so sometimes it is hard things that maybe in the moment I have an image where it's like a mom holding a child. I have actually a few images that it's like a mom holding a child, and either like it's late at night or the baby's crying or she's crying, or it's like those moments where it's so hard to be a parent or so hard to be in those moments. But at the same time, thinking back, sometimes it's like those were tender times. Even though it was hard, they made me grow as a mom, as a person, being patient, And I think to capture not only like these sweet moments, but to capture, you know, the tired, the being, trying to be patient, trying to grow a little bit as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, that in your head, you're weaving together the difficulty of it and the importance and the value that you found in that, in those times. Can you tell me about when you first began creating art and maybe some of the challenges that you faced in choosing to pursue artistic study and becoming a working artist?
Honestly, it was the easiest choice. And it was more, that's what I knew I was supposed to do for a young age. I am not the black sheep of the family. My family is a lot of artists, and creativity is so like ingrained in our DNA. My mother went to back to college when I was about 9 or 10. And I remember going to classes with her. I remember painting classes and art history classes. And the funny thing is, when I went to college myself, some of those teachers that she had, I had as well. And it seemed like home to me. Also, her father was very creative, painted. A lot of my family members, my sisters are very creative. My brother's an artist, my cousins and aunts. And it's something that I grew up with. And so it was literally like a first language for me. When I decided to be an artist, my grandfather that was an artist, he passed away. And I remember thinking as a little kid, like, this is my journey in life, and I have to carry on the family like tradition to be an artist in a 10-year-old's mind. But I took it seriously, even in like middle school, high school, and then college. It was a consistent way to express myself. And I'm dyslexic. I have ADHD. I struggled in school for a lot of different things. And I feel like art was a way I could have a diary, even though I was not good at writing. I wasn't good at spelling. I always had trouble reading. And so this was my way to express myself. And I did a lot of different styles when I was younger and in college. And I always came back to women. And to families, like it was something I would ebb and flow of. I would do art about landscape. I do art about animals, and I would pull different things, but I'd always get back to like my roots of just like I loved like drawing women, and then drawing women and children, and then falling into like this family, because I started having a family, and it kind of evolved into that. And now I feel like it's, when I do art, it's truly my journal, and it's not trying to seek out a special type of style, but it's just me expressing myself purely of who I am.
And how, I mean, that's such a enormous layer of meaning to add to an already difficult task of art. I find incredible meaning in your art. Do you feel like you have been able to achieve that through your work?
It took me a while to get that way. I know in college, sometimes teachers will drill a certain way of doing art and a certain way it should look like. And I remember it couldn't be to illustration, or it can't be a certain like feeling, and it had to be more not edgy, but it pushing boundaries would be the right word. And I remember leaving college and trying to shake that off, because I, you know, like I said, I paint for experiences, and it took a while. But then when I looked at what I was interested in and what I kept pulling inspiration, my dad grew up in Copenhagen, Denmark, most of his childhood. And I grew up very, that Scandinavian Danish culture was in my home. So that Scandinavian style. And then my mom's side, she grew up in Oklahoma, a little bit of the South and Texas. Her grandma was a quilter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, quilting with the most beautiful and bright colors and really, like, groovy is the right word. Like, the patterns were really crazy. And I remember visiting my grandma, and she would have boxes of her fabric of my great grandma's. And my grandma's like, yeah, sew with it. And I remember sewing, and I have a passion. I don't quilt. My sister does. I don't quilt. But there is something beautiful about pattern work. And I have a love for the folk arts of passing down quilts, passing down the idea of canning food, these things that women have been doing for generation and passing down. So I think I'm taking both sides of my mom's side, my dad's side, the background, the history, putting it in my own life, and not worrying about, is it too kitschy? Is it too sweet? Is it not edgy enough? Is it? And I'm just thinking about, you know, these moments that humans and mothers and families have, and just putting it down and hoping that people can understand of those moments where you have to potty train your son. I have an image that I did when I was potty training, and it's just being patient, and it's frustrating, and you know, or, you know, like I said, crying in the middle of the night, holding a baby, or then those joys of passing down, you know, being able to quilt with your daughters or your granddaughters. And my feelings and my paintings are like a quilt in their own way of like family history. Mm. If that makes sense, that's kind of like a lot of...
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it really helps answer my earlier question of how do you make this feel like real family stories, which is that you are drawing from real family stories and real relationships. And yeah, I mean, I was planning to ask you about the patterns the patterns in your paintings of fabrics, of textiles, of wallpaper that are, you know, really strong. And I love that you already brought it up with you know, talking about your grandmother's fabrics and quilting. I think that absolutely makes sense for how, you know, the paint appears on the canvas.
Yeah. And it's, you know, my great grandma Browning, her fabric, it didn't just affect me, it affected my sister. She also got a lot of that fabric, and now she quilts with those fabrics. And it is, you know, those things do pass down from generation to generation. It's not only my experiences. I can see those universal experiences through my sister's eyes, my cousin's eyes, my nieces and nephews, how certain things, their, you know, sentimental value with certain things that might not have, you know, money value, but they have value because of those relationships.
Sure. Yeah. Your piece for the cover is called Family Dinner. Can you tell us more about this piece specifically? What was
Oh, yeah.
Done?
Yes. It goes back to, once again, family and what I've been talking about. And it's my mother's mother, my mother's father. We would get together, and one specific time when I was a preteen, we got together before he passed away, and it was probably the Thanksgiving. We got together before he passed away, and it was, my mother is one out of seven kids, and so it's a big family with lots of cousins. I remember just looking at the table, and there was like 23 pies, and it was just, and that was just dessert. And I remember just the chaos and family, and there's so many people, and my grandparents would invite people that they just met to the dinner, and it just, everybody was welcomed. And I that feeling and that painting is my experience. Once again, it's my diary of what I experienced. And in that painting, the old man that's at the top is actually represents my grandpa. And the little girl represents one of my nieces. And even though they never met, it was just kind of this feeling of all of these people throughout my life, and that inspired me, and just like joining for a family dinner and that happiness and chaos of like Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, or just a big dinner when you're all together with family and friends and people that you kind of don't know, but they're family now. Like, so it definitely comes back to that family history feeling.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really speaks to me because my husband's family is the same way, where Thanksgiving is just, you know, whoever, you know, some lonely souls, maybe from the ward, or maybe just some friends that they wanted to invite over. And so they get added into the chaos, and we regularly end up with, you know, 35, 40 people for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I almost could feel the noise coming off that painting, but also that sense of abundance of like, we're so lucky to have each other, and we're so lucky to have enough. And so everyone's welcome at the
time. Yes, yes. And I love that feeling of, you don't have a place to go, come here.
Yeah.
Come join us, your family. Even if we just met, you come, you know, you don't have family of your own this year. Just, and I try to even incorporate that in my everyday life of just like, hey, come, you know, hang out with us, or, you know, come to Thanksgiving with us and stuff like that. So those memories I still try to put in my own life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, tell us a little bit about what projects you're involved in, artistic or otherwise, right now, and where can people find more of your work and follow what you're sharing with the world?
Yes, I have social media, of course, Instagram. I have a website. I have a place that I put my art. It's kind of like an online gallery. It's called New Vision Art. It's where people can buy any prints, and they post a few things. But if you don't see something that is mine that's not on that website, you can always email Anne and just say, hey, I like this piece. Can you print it off? And so she usually has everything. They only post so many, and so that's where you can buy. I'm also in the church. It's their international
art competition.
Yes, the International Art Competition. I think it's the 13th, maybe with the 14th, but I think it's the 13th. And it's in the spring. And I have a piece that will be showing there for
congratulations.
For a couple of months. Yeah, thank you. It's my second time being in the show. My first one was the family dinner. And this one is now, it's exciting to be
that
in
is
it again.
I know it's really competitive to get into that. So huge congrats.
Thank you.
Can you share your Instagram and website?
My Instagram is just Carrie Ellen Art Studio. You can find me on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, but not quite as much. But Instagram is where you'll can find me. And then the website is on, it's called Wix, like W-I-X site, Wix site. And it's the Carrie Ellen Art Studio, but without the I and O at the end, because it was so long. So it's Carrie Ellen Art Studio with the outro. Okay. Maybe I can send it to you guys so you have it for. But I am on, if you go to my Instagram, I have a tree link for, and it links all of my, the New Vision Art, my website, Carrie Ellen Art Studio, my, yeah. So if you go to any platform, it's some, you can link to those.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for sharing your art with us. Thanks for sitting down and talking with me today. It's just been delightful, and best wishes to you.
Thank you so much.
Greetings. My name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.